Hello world, this is CS50 Live. So you may recall from week zero that desk lamps have somehow become a thing this year in CS50, and this is actually just the result of my fairly spontaneously, before that first class, having gotten in the car, driven to a local store called Target to pick up really any lamps I could find, because what I wanted to do was have some light bulbs with which to represent zeros and ones, whereby if the light bulb was on, it would represent a one in lecture, and if light bulb is off, it would represent a zero. Now, the funny thing is, at the end of that lecture, I didn't really need the desk lamps anymore, so I asked students to volunteer if they might like to take them home. You've never seen so much interest in anything in CS50, let alone in desk lamps, so they very quickly were given away. So we completely ran out of stock, despite some requests ever since then for more, so I decided to get back into the car the other day and drive again to that store, Target, to pick up some more. We're here on our way to Target to pick up this week's batch of desk lamps. I like to park on the end so no one scratches my car. Happy to say that desk lamps are now back in stock. But I did want to share a particular tweet with you that caught our eye back when we first gave out some of those desk lamps in week zero. This was posted by one of your classmates, Andrew Hill, who wrote, "David J. Malin, where's my lamp?" Now, the funny thing is, this tweet caught the eye of a colleague of mine, Shelley Westover, who you may recall from such films as this. In any case, Shelley replied to Andrew's tweet as follows. "Andrew, are you taking CS50 this fall? Interested in doing some part-time editing for the course?" Shelley, of course, is on CS50's full-time team behind the camera. She had actually been a teaching assistant for a course that Andrew at the time had previously taken at Harvard Extension School. Now, the funny thing is, we decided to humor Andrew with this request, and we dropped one of those desk lamps in the mail. And to be honest, you know what would be better? Andrew, would you mind? Could you join me here on the internet? Andrew, would you like to say hello, world?
Hi, David. Hello, world.
So everyone, here is Andrew Hill. These are some of the desk lamps we picked up at Target the other day. And it is no understatement to say that these desk lamps change lives. And so, in fact, now that we do have a few more of these things, we thought we'd invite you, the audience, particularly those in CS50X, to participate in a little challenge of sorts. If you might like to receive the next CS50 desk lamp, go ahead and visit wheresmylamp.com, which, believe it or not, we actually bought last night, at Andrew's suggestion, and we place there a form that's going to ask you for your name, your email, and the URL of a video in which you try to convince us that you should be the next Andrew Hill, at least for the desk lamp part. So thank you so much, Andrew.
Thank you, David. We are so pleased
to have you here with us.
Glad to be.
Now, in the news today, you may have noticed that Facebook, our old friend, has turned 10 years old. In fact, this screenshot here was posted, no surprise, to Facebook itself by one of Facebook's founders, Eduardo Saverin, who, if you saw the movie The Social Network, was played by actor Andrew Garfield. Now, we thought this would be an opportune moment to point out that Facebook has one of these things called an API, an application programming interface, and what an API allows you to do is query a service, like Facebook, get back some data, often in a format known as JSON, or JavaScript object notation, and then integrate that data into your own application. Now, it turns out, as a side effect of Facebook having an API, you can actually poke around individual users' JSON data and see what their unique identifier is. Those unique identifiers are assigned to users when they first sign up, and it turns out, and this is very common when you use databases for websites, those integers are assigned in increasing order from one on up. So in fact, even in a browser right now, if you go to graph.facebook.com/zuck, where Zuck is Mark Zuckerberg's username, you'll see this JSON data come back, indicating that this is indeed Mark Zuckerberg, and his unique ID is apparently 4, not 1. So the funny thing is, it turns out that Mark's unique ID is indeed 4 because he actually created a few test accounts before setting up his own Facebook account. Now, I'll admit curiosity got the best of me, and you're welcome to go here too. If you go to graph.facebook.com/dmalin, you'll see that I, on the other hand, was a bit of a latecomer, at least relatively speaking, early on, and I was user number 6,454. Try it with your own username at the end of a URL like that. Now, also in the news this week has been this little nugget. It turns out that password is no longer the most popular password. In fact, it's been overtaken by this gem here, 123456, which is, funny enough, actually more secure than one of our favorite which is even more secure than one of our favorite passwords, as in this film here.
The combination is 1
1
1
2
2
2
3
3
3
4
4 4 5 5 5. So the combination is 1 2 3 4 5. That's the stupidest combination I ever heard in my life. That's the kind of thing an idiot would have on his luggage.
Thank you, Your Highness.
Now, in third place is the ever so slightly more secure 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8, which is apparently the result of people taking a little literally the typical requirement that passwords need to be at least 8 characters long. And yet even that password is more secure than what apparently the US government used for 20 years to protect our nuclear missiles. Now, in fourth place is QWERTY, which is the result of typing the characters along the top of a typical US keyboard. In fifth place is ABC, 1 2 3. And adorably, in ninth place is I love you. Aww. Now, you may have noticed that at the start of CS50's lecture videos, there's often some aerial photography, such as that pictured here of Memorial Hall, which is the building in which Sanders Theater, where CS50's lectures are actually held. We take these photos and these videos using literally a flying drone, such as that pictured here, and we attach to the bottom of this thing a tiny little camera that actually is even smaller than you might think. And using a remote control, and believe it or not, a pair of goggles, we're able to fly up, down, left, right, forward, back with the camera attached and actually film in fairly high resolution and then prepend those video clips to the start of lectures. Now, it's been a beautiful, albeit super cold, week here in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's been snowing, and one of the more common requests that we've gotten over Facebook is to take some additional tours of Harvard campus, so we asked CS50's own Milo if he wouldn't mind taking us for a tour.
I lost the signal and put you away. Swore upon the sun I'd save you for a rainy day. Loosen the noose, then let go of the rope. I know if it's never coming back, it has to go. I keep calling your name. I wanna hold you close, but I never wanna feel ashamed. So I keep calling at night. I wanna hold you close, I just never wanna hold. I can't seem to stop calling it off just to keep crawling to your arms. Gracious, I can't seem to stop calling it off just to keep crawling to your arms.
Now, we've been keeping an eye, as usual, on Facebook, Reddit, and Twitter. And one of the posts in particular on Facebook caught our eye recently. That from your classmate Brenda Anderson, who's actually been amazing on the various discussion forums fielding questions from her fellow classmates. Brenda hails from New Zealand, and what was nice was that she took it upon herself to put together an amalgam of problem set 1 and problem set 4, taking the idea from Mario, mashing it together with the ideas of Breakout, and ultimately produced, using Stanford's portable library, her own version, her own graphical version of Mario. Let's take a look.
So I recreated Mario using the PSET4 SPL library. Choose the number of steps, press the build button, press go, and Mario jumps to the top.
Now, another post that caught our eye was posted here by Susan from LA. She writes, "Hello, I'm posting this for my son, who is 12 and too young for his own Facebook account. He has been stuck trying to figure out a little code in Mario. He can't figure out how to make the 0 to 23 without writing, or hard coding, 0, 1, 2, etc. Is this the only way? By the way, he has watched the videos of classes, watched the walkthroughs, and read how stuff works, and is still stuck. Thanks, Susan." So what was touching about this post was not only Susan reaching out on behalf of her son, but just how many of her son's classmates reached out with some helpful tips. For instance, we'd like to acknowledge in particular Paul from the United Kingdom, pictured here, who chimed in with some helpful advice. Mark, also from the United Kingdom, who simply offered some counsel. And Chris, pictured here, apparently in his car. Now, Susan, at the end of the day, responded as follows. "Paul, thank you so much. It works now, and he is smiling. I am sorry I'm no help at all with this. I really appreciate everyone's time and advice. Thank you as well from CS50. Now, pictured here is Brad Williams, apparently in avatar form, and Brad actually posted this to Facebook, something he mocked up in Photoshop as a helpful suggestion for something we might integrate into a CS50 Live episode. In particular, he suggested that on the next CS50, someone should replace the green screen with tie-dye. So as much as we appreciate all the effort that we're sure went into this Photoshop mock-up, this is an academic course at Harvard. It's a computer science course, no less, particularly rigorous at Harvard University. It simply wouldn't be appropriate for us to mess with things like the green screen for non-serious purposes. But thank you, nonetheless, for the suggestion. And in fact, I also have to apologize to Kevin from Missouri, who similarly tweeted this suggestion. "Put David J. Malin in front of the Matrix code. He is the one." So here too, love the movie, well, the first one, the second and third, not so much, but here too, not really appropriate for this beautiful studio here at Harvard University, but thank you for the suggestion. Now, frankly, if we're gonna go anywhere with this green screen, it's not gonna be into the Matrix. I think it's probably more likely to be on a sunny beach somewhere sipping something frozen drinks. Now, thank you to all, though, for these suggestions. Now, even more popular this year than desk lamps has been Google Glass. In fact, you've never seen so many students in CS50 coming up to chat after lecture, or really to see demonstrations of Google Glass, but that's been great, particularly since Google Glass allows you, it turns out, to develop software for it. In fact, one of CS50's own teaching fellows, Christopher Bartholomew, has his own pair of Google Glass, and it turns out he himself has done some software development for it. He kindly agreed to go on a stroll with me recently to tell us and show us a bit more of Google Glass.
Hey, do you want to talk?
Hey, yeah, you want to go for a walk?
Yeah, okay. Sure. I want to bring that coat. You wearing your glass finally?
Yeah, this is the first time I've had these on since class ended.
How do you enjoy them? Or
it's okay. I haven't found much of a use case personally yet, but it did turn out great for CS50's lectures. We ended up putting them on students anytime they came up on stage. Then have some shots.
I mean, I must have counted at least probably of at least 100 times I've handed out my glass to strangers in all different cases and show them how it works.
Look both ways.
Oh, yeah. I rarely do that.
Come
over here. To show people what you're actually seeing is a very important aspect of just the technology. I mean, that's what, to be able to connect with somebody very easily, no matter where you are.
Well, what about the privacy concerns, given that this whole time I could have been recording what you're saying?
Sure. So,
ironically.
The way I get this question a lot, you know, I don't know. I think in some sense or another, I don't know why I would be recording people for any other reasoning besides if I was at a concert or something. For me, it's just, it's an immoral thing to do. If you want to step on someone's privacy, you can do that, but otherwise. I have a great video when I was at the World Series game. I turned it on and I was like, Big Poppy's gonna hit a home run here.
He's gonna hit a home run here, yes. I know it.
And he did.
Yeah!
And you could just see everybody's, like, you know, experience from, like, the actual fan, right? And that was really fun. And, you know, my hands were up, like, yeah, you know, it happened. And,
well, I will admit, it can definitely be used for evil, but as soon as you have, like, facial recognition built into this sort of thing, it would be amazing to be able to be walking down the street, someone waves hi to you, you don't really remember where you know them from, and boom, it's Alice or Bob from such and such, and to have those little visual cues would actually be pretty powerful.
That too. I mean, I think I always call it my peanut butter problem, where I would want something to decide what peanut butter I would like more. I'd love to have glass, you know, look at both of them and I go, find me the best peanut butter here. And it would go back and based upon my own like settings or my own like my own wants or likes or, you know, whether it's healthy or whether the beans are, you know, or the peanuts are.
How much thought have you given this use case?
A lot.
Why is it peanut butter?
You know, just weird situations like that.
Yeah,
that
I don't weird have situation
to,
indeed.
I don't have to Google, sit there and Google, you know, all these different things. I just want it to figure out for me. When it sees it, it acts upon my wants and it delivers.
Do you want to do a couple demos? Maybe weather and...
Yeah, I mean, so...
Google searches?
Sure. So the first thing that you can do here is if you just, you know, swipe back a couple times, you could see weather. Okay. Another one, if you just lean up your head, there's two ways to activate the OK Glass option. One of which is just by tapping. And then when you see OK Glass, you can literally say OK Glass, and that will give you a list of menu options that are available to you.
So do you have people that walk by occasionally and be like, OK Glass?
You know, like I'll have friends who, like, I'll kind of look up and they know I'm about to do something, and then they'll just be like, OK Glass, Google pictures of whatever, and then, you know, insert whatever. Insert whatever in there, and then all of a sudden my Google, my glass gets, because screen gets planted with pictures. When I was doing the Google Foundry, when we were testing this for the first time, like everyone went up to like this fruit stand to take pictures of, and then it was crazy because everybody's thing would start going off because it's not person dependent. Like, so if everybody said OK Glass at once, you could set off other people. So like this chain reaction would occur with that. But otherwise, I mean, there's a lot of different. I mean, really, it comes down to all the applications that are available. So as long as people and developers are making more apps, there'll be more things that you can do with Glass, but you know, it's taken some time.
Oh, almost there.
Yeah, we need more developers. Come on, David, you gotta churn them out.
next fall. All right, so I'm not sure I can stay outside much longer. Shall we head back?
Yeah, that's completely fine.
Okay.
All right.
What was it, 15 degrees you said?
Yeah. And now, 60 seconds of peanut butter.
It's peanut butter jelly time! Peanut butter jelly time! Peanut butter jelly time! Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Now, there you go! There you go! There you go! There you go! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Do the peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat! Now, where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Now, there you go! There you go! There you go! There you go! Now, peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Do the peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat! Now, break it down and freeze! Break it down and freeze!
Sixty seconds of peanut butter. So we also had occasion to go for a stroll with CS50's own Jason Hirshhorn into our studio recently. And Jason, too, we presented with a pair of Google Glass so that we could take a more technical look at exactly how the technology works. Jason Hirshhorn. We're here today with Jason, one of CS50's teaching fellows, whom you may know from CS50's weekly sections. Jason, hello.
David, great to be here. I love teaching CS50 sections. I've done it for 2 years now. And it's so much fun both to teach students here and to allow the videos to be shared throughout the world.
Well, that's great. And I see you came wearing your Disneyland name tag with Jason on it, but you are, to my knowledge, the only CS50 teaching fellow who's been fired from Disneyland, no?
Well, to be fired, you have to be hired. So I was initially hired, and I worked there for a week on the Indiana Jones adventure. And then it just didn't work out, unfortunately.
Really?
But thankfully, you still took me back in CS50.
No, we did. We were happy to have you back. In fact, because as some of you know who've watched the sections online, 2 years ago, Jason came to us in CS50 wearing a pumpkin suit for one of his sections, roughly around Halloween, if you recall. In fact, for those of you who haven't seen this, let me grab our pair of Google Glass here from Lectures and see if we can't dig this up online. OK, Glass. Google video of Jason dressed as pumpkin. There it is.
So you might be asking yourself, what's with the giant pumpkin? Well, of course, tonight is Halloween.
So the next year, you came back and were a little deflated. Your suit, in fact, had it lost a bit of wind. What happened there?
Well, first, I don't know if I like that these videos can be pulled up right away. Oh, but, but yeah, the second time I had the suit, I forgot the fan that is necessary to keep it inflated, so I had to stuff some pillows and other clothes inside. But I certainly took a lot of flack for that from my students, from...
Well, in the online anonymous feedback form that you have in your section.
Right, people are allowed to give me anonymous feedback because it helps me improve my teaching, but they've also used it to critique my outfits, particularly the deflated costume, so...
Well, good. Well, as interesting as this is, why don't we take a chance to actually play with glass? Besides the pair here that we've been using in lectures this year, we also, in recognition for all of your efforts this year, got you your own pair of glass here. Just for today.
Okay.
But for those unfamiliar with how glass itself works, so notice here we have a battery pack, which is what powers the whole device. Over here we have just the on-off switch. In the front of the device we have effectively the CPU and all of the other brains behind the device. In the front we have the front-facing camera, and this is what students were using to actually capture the perspective of them on stage. And then lastly, the piece of glass itself, which works as follows. Inside of here is not only the camera, but a data projector of sorts that sends the image this way. The prism then reflects it this way into your eye, and so that's why you see the overlay of a rectangular screen right above your eye, if you'd like to try that out.
Fantastic.
So once you put it on, by default, once you tap it, you should see the main menu, which shows the current time, and then a secret phrase. So if you want to go ahead and utter that phrase and then Google something like whatever comes to mind first.
Okay. Let's try this now. Okay, glass, Google pictures of puppies.
And the funny thing is, because we're sitting so close, my glass heard that too. There it is, first thing that came to mind. So we can do more powerful things too. So to go back, go ahead and just swipe downward on your temple on the bridge of the lenses here. All right, so you should be back at the main menu.
I am.
All right, and this time I'll do it myself, but speak loud enough so both of our glasses pick this up. Okay, glass, record a video. And I see you.
Voila, I see you too.
All right, and go ahead and hit the button quick so we can extend this beyond just 10 seconds. So what's also neat with glasses, besides all these built-in applications, you can actually develop your own applications using the GDK, Glass Development Kit, which is more time than we have today to dive into, but certainly check that out.
I'd love to be interested in it. I mean, totally interested in that. I'd love to learn more about
So you'd love to be interested in learning more about Google Glass.
And I also love that I have a video of you to remember this moment for
No, this is great footage that I'm going to hang on to for sure. Well, that's it then with Jason Hirshhorn here and Google Glass. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks,
David.
Great
to have you aboard. Google, photos of Jason Hirshhorn dressed as a pumpkin.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I want people to see
that. No, now it's photos of Jason Hirshhorn dressed as a boy. Okay, stand by. Listening for music. Photos of Jason Hirshhorn dressed as a pumpkin. That's it for CS50 Live. Thanks so much to this week's team. And remember, if you yourself might like a CS50 desk lamp, let us know in video why. We can't wait to see the submissions. This was CS50.